got quite a bit I'm going to read, so you just bear with me. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 1. The Bible says, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and at every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wives, and thy sons' wives with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, and keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female. Of the fowls after their kind, and cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come into thee, and keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Let me stop reading right there. Y'all are very familiar with this story and this passage. I know that. And I won't have to go into great detail to try to get you to understand the parallel between the day Noah lived in and the day we live in. I mean, you look at verse 5, it says, "The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." We're living in a day when there's great wickedness. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. You talk to people and you can't talk to them no time, and they're cursing. They're just wicked. Their minds are on evil continually. Look at verse number 11. It says, "And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Have you ever seen a day when things have been so violent as they are? I mean, all the time. I mean, people are setting bombs off in public. People are getting murdered, kidnapped. And you look at corruption. I mean, the government's corrupt. I mean, we got crooked politicians, news. I mean, you just name it, it's corrupt. I mean, that's the day we live in. Our days are very similar to the days Noah lived in. But here's what I want to focus on tonight. As corrupt as it was, Noah had a wife, three sons, and three daughters-in-laws. And as corrupt as it was, as wicked as it was, you know what happened? They escaped it. Hey, the wickedness didn't destroy them. The corruption didn't get them. When judgment was fixing to come, but you know what? They escaped it. They survived the judgment that came. And here's really where I'm wanting to get to. Had there not been a godly man named Noah, they wouldn't have made it. Hey, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, if they didn't have a godly father, you know what? They'd have died in the flood. I mean, look at chapter 7, verse 7. It says, "And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood." Now, picture this scene. Here's what's happened. They built this ark, and now it comes time to go in. And you know what? God, just picture Noah standing there. Right before this ark he's built, he looks around maybe one last time, and he goes in. But then notice who follows. It says that Noah went in and his sons. There they are. Dad's done went in. Now they're standing there. Now they got to make a decision. Do they want to follow Dad? Do they want to follow after what he's done? We don't read where Noah drug anybody on there. Hey, they saw something in their dad, their father, and you know what they said? We're going with him. They get on. And then there's that wife. And you know what we see? She's got the same decision. Hey, do you want to go or do you want to stay? She gets on and follows. You say that's not that big of a deal? Look at Lot's wife. Hey, she had a chance for deliverance, but you know what? She didn't make it, did she? Noah's wife got on. There's his daughter-in-laws. You know what they did? They followed. They got on. It's what I'm trying to get you to see. They escaped the judgment and the wickedness of that day. And really, you know what it came down to? A godly man, a godly father in that household made the difference. That was the difference between success and failure for them. Noah's family, they survived all the odds. If you would look upon that situation, it's corrupt. I mean, the whole earth. Notice what it says in verse 12. For God looked upon the earth, and behold, it's corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All flesh. I mean, everybody's corrupt. Everybody's wicked. Everything going on, you think they don't stand a chance. But they made it. We live in a day, and I look at our children, the day we live in, and here's, if we're not careful, here's what we think. Man, they just don't stand a chance. I mean, if the Lord don't come, I don't know how they're going to make it. Let me tell you how they're going to make it. They need a godly father. That's what they need. They need a godly head of the home. That's how they're going to make it. That's how your wives are going to make it. That's how they're going to be able to come through the wickedness and the corruption of this world and be able to come out on the other side. See, here's the thing. The husband's the head of the home. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, the head of Christ is God." I am the spiritual head of my home. And men, you're the spiritual head of your home. And this is what's so sobering. You're either going to influence right or you're going to influence wrong. You're either going to influence your home to follow God or you're going to influence it to follow the world. And regardless of what your wife does or your children, you know what it's all going to come down to? What you do. Listen, I've got a wonderful wife. I've got three of the best boys there are. And they want to serve God. They care about the things of God. But you know what? But if I decide, hey, I'm through. I'm just going to live my life for the world. You know what's going to happen? Me being the head, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start pushing the world in their lives. And they may put up a fight for a while, but in the end, you know what's going to happen? They're going to be as carnal and lukewarm as the head is. Men, let me tell you this. How you are is how your home will be. It's just that simple. If you're carnal, your home will be carnal. If you're lukewarm, you don't care about the things of God like you should, that's how your home's going to be. You may have a godly wife, and they may be fighting a good fight now, but in the end, it'll go no further than the head. You are the spiritual leader. It'll go no further than where you are spiritually. And that's a very sobering thought. That ought to sober every one of us up. Amen. The day we live in, our families are influenced more by the world and society than they are the father. And the father is very important. You ask any mother, and here's what they'll tell you. They can say something to the children, it goes in one ear and out the other. But when daddy says it, it's a whole different story. Why do you think mothers are always telling their children, hey, you wait, I'm going to tell your dad. When your daddy gets home, I'm going to tell him what happened. You know why? Because there's a great sphere of influence that comes with that. Men, you are the head of your home. And the sad thing is we live in a day when a lot of men won't assume that responsibility. They won't do it. They're going to play. They're going to do whatever and let the wife try to be the spiritual head. Yeah, I tell you. It won't work. It will not work. Here's a man named Noah who's going to deliver his family. They're going to escape the corruption, the violence, everything that's taking place. They're going to escape it. They're going to escape the judgment that's coming. And let me tell you something. Judgment is coming. You look at our the land we live in, and I love our country, but judgment's coming. And when it comes, you know what? It ain't going to make it. The only thing that's going to matter is God. That's the only thing that's going to matter. If I can get anything instilled in the hearts of my children, it's to follow God. That's the only thing that's going to make a difference in their lives. What can we see in Noah that we need to see in our own lives? I'm just asking. I'm primarily preaching to you men tonight, I guess. What can we see in Noah that my family needs to see? In me, that your family needs to see in you. And I start thinking, what kind of person was Noah? Number one, let me run through these. Look at verse number 9. The latter part of the verse says this, Noah walked with God. And I started thinking on it, Noah walked with God. Did you know if you're going to walk with somebody, it's going to require submission on your part? You can't walk with God and go the direction you want to go in. You can't walk with God and do what you want to do. If you're going to walk with God, you have to be going in the same direction He's going in. It says Noah walked with God. It doesn't read God walked with Noah. Noah had to go the direction that God was going in. And you know what our problem is today? We want God to walk with us. We want to do what we want to do. We want to follow after our own desires of our own flesh, do what we want to do, and we want God to bless us for it. And when it all falls apart, we want Him to be there to fix it, pick up the pieces, put it back together, but then we want to go back to doing what we want to do. You're going to walk with God, you've got to submit to go the direction God wants to go in. And let me just tell you this, if you're going to be submissive to God, you're going to have to read and understand your Bible. And notice I threw that little word in our understand. Here's what we do. We read these, our conscience, but we're not reading for direction. When's the last time that you sit down with your Bible and read it with the mindset, God, would you show me what I need to do? Lord, if there's something wrong in my life, would you show me from your word what I need to do? We don't read like that, do we? You know what we do? We sit down and we try to burn through 3 chapters or however much you try to get read for a night, and we don't even know what we read when we're done. If you're going to submit, if you're going to walk with God, you've got to submit to Him, and you can't submit to somebody if you don't know what they want. You're going to find out what God wants from your life by reading this book. You can't submit to somebody if you don't have fellowship with them. You can't walk with God if you don't pray. And let me just throw this in there. You can't walk with God if you don't attend church. You're never going to walk with God and forsake the house of God. And let me say this. The truth, you know what coming to church really boils down to? It's a submission problem. You get up and am I going to do what I want to do or am I going to do what God wants me to do? That's a choice. And the reason we do what we want to do is because we're not going to submit to God. You don't submit, you're not going to walk with God. Noah was a man, he walked with God. So he's a man, we see submission. Walking with God requires submission, it requires separation. And a pastor just preached on a lot of these. You know the verses, James 4 and 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The things of the world are against God. It's just that simple. And the reason we refuse to separate from the world is really we don't believe the Bible. Hey, if I really believed something was God's enemy, you know what? I'd get as far away from it as I could. And the reason we straddle the fence and still play with the things of the world and try to fit in is because really we don't believe it. We really do not believe that the world is God's enemy. It's going to require separation. To walk with God, it's going to require solitude. You're going to find out that when you start walking with God, you're going to be alone a lot of times. Here's a man, Noah walked with God. I wonder how many friends Noah had. Wonder on Saturday night how many people called Noah and invited him and his family over to cook out, do something. Nobody did. Walking with God, you know what it means many times? It's you and God. But Noah, here's a man, this is who he was. He walked with God. But then we read in Hebrews 11, 7, you don't have to turn, he was a man of faith. Your faith is shown by your actions. Fathers, let me tell you this. Our children, you know what they need to see? They need to see us being men of faith. And faith is not, I've been preaching on faith in the prison. I tell those men, faith is not just wishful thinking. We live in a day when people decide what they want to do and they just, well, I'm just trusting that God, everything's going to work out. That's not faith. Faith has to have an object to trust. Faith has to have a scriptural basis. That's what it has to have. And you know what would help our wives and our children more than anything? To see us living our lives by the Word of God. Amen. Living our lives. Hey, we do what we do because God said do it. Amen. Hey, there have been times my children have come up to me and said, Dad, I don't really want to go to church tonight. And Bud, you know what I told them? Son, I'm tired. I don't really want to either. But God says we're supposed to go to church and that's what we're going to do. Our wives, our children. Here's what we're seeing. Noah was a man of faith. Your faith is shown by your actions. We can say, I said it Sunday morning, I'm sick and tired of hearing what everybody, of words. Everybody says this, everybody knows what to say. I can watch your life and learn everything I need to know about you. If you're lukewarm, your life will show it. If you're on fire for God, your life will show it. If you don't want to be here, your life will show it. Your actions speak volumes more than your words do. We all know what to say. It's just a game. But you know what? I can watch the way you walk, and your walk won't lie. It'll tell me exactly what's in your heart, what you hold dear to your life, everything about it will be revealed in your walk. Here's a man that delivered his family. Here's a man that as wicked as it was, his family is going to be delivered. He walked with God. He was a man of faith. And then in 2 Peter 2 and 5, and you can look later, he was a preacher of righteousness. You know what Noah did? He stood against sin. He was vocal about it. He preached against it. That's what his family saw. They saw a dad that didn't justify it. He didn't tolerate it. He didn't condone it. He preached against it. You know what we're missing in our homes today? A lot of fathers won't take a stand against sin. It's sad, but instead of that, here's what we'll do. We'll justify why we're in a different situation. And how that's what the Bible says, but this is where we're at, and God understands where we're at. You know what we're teaching our children, and we're teaching our wives? That the Word of God is really not all that important. That's the message we're sending. Noah, here's a man, he delivered his family. He stood against sin. But then I want you to notice something else. Noah had a plan. As good as a person as he was, he had a plan. Being a good person wouldn't have delivered his family. Hey, judgment's coming. Noah walked with God. He preached against sin. He's a man of great faith. That wasn't going to get him through the judgment that was coming. He had to have a plan. Dads, let me ask you this. What's your plan? You're the spiritual head of your home. You got a wife. You got children. The devil's wanting to trip them up. He's wanting to destroy them. What is your plan? He's got one. Would it not make sense that we need to have one? Now, I want you to notice something. This plan that Noah's getting is designed by God. Noah didn't sit down with his wife one day and say, listen, everything's as wicked as this. Let's set some goals of what me and you think will be good. If we're going to deliver our children, let's try to shape what we should do in their lives. They didn't do that. Do you know what we do? Hey, God's give us a plan right here. God's given us everything we need to know about to deliver our children from this corrupt and wicked world. It's right there. But instead of looking and seeing what God says, you know what we do? We sit down amongst ourselves and we try to decide what we think would be a good idea. Noah and his wife, they didn't do that. God provided Noah with a way to save his family. God's plan was specific, wasn't it? He gave him exact dimensions, the material to make it out of, where to put the door, where to put the window. There was nothing left up to Noah's imagination. There was no room for Noah to decide what he thought would be a good idea. We fail many times because instead of following what God says, listen, God knows. God's plan is perfect. And instead of following what God says, we try to start putting our own ideas in there. And it may work for a while, but you know what? You'll end up losing your children. You'll end up losing your wives because you're not following God's plan. God has a plan for our families to escape the wickedness of this world. And it's the Bible. That is His plan. That's what we're to follow. And God's design for this, it was perfect. And God's plan for our lives and for our homes, it's perfect. It is perfect without error. Do you even know what God's plan is? How do we know as far as our wives, our children? Did you know it's all right there? How the home's supposed to be, everything about our life, it's right there in the Word of God. He has a plan. But you know what? We don't follow it. We come up with, we got this situation and we got this, and so here's what we think will be best to do. That's fine, but here's what happens. You start deviating from God's plan. Noah was close enough to God, he could hear God speak to know what God's plan was. You know why we don't know many times? We're so far from God. We're so preoccupied with the things of this world. We don't even know what God wants for our lives and for our homes. Noah could have had the godliest character. But you know what it all came down to? What he did with his plan. I mean, he's good a man as he was. He had a plan. Here's what God said you need to do. If you're going to deliver your family, this is what you're going to have to do. His success or failure as a father was going to be determined by what he did with that plan. Dads, let me tell you this. Your success or failure as a father, as a husband, you know what it's going to be? With what you do with the Word of God. It's that simple. Noah could have come up with some way, but he wouldn't have got the job done. What if Noah just said, you know what, let's just tie some cigarettes. Instead of building an ark, let's just make a big raft. It'll get the job done. You know what they'd have found out? It would have failed them. And you know what's sad? There's a lot of homes today, they've deviated from God's plan. They're going their own way. They're making their own plan. And when the flood of judgment comes, you know what they're going to find out? We missed it. And you know what? It's too late then. You know what else I see about this plan? It guaranteed success. Notice what God tells him. See if I can find it here. Look at verse number 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wives and thy son wives with thee. Before he ever starts building this ark, before when he receives a plan, here's what God tells him. If you'll do this, you're going to be successful. Hey, they'll be delivered if you'll follow the plan that I gave you. That promise, it was conditional upon his obedience. As I said, if I had Noah deviated, had he said, you know what, I'm not going to do that this way, here's the direction we're going to go, he couldn't claim that promise. You want to be like Noah and deliver your wives, your family, your children from the judgment that's coming, this wickedness of this world, you're going to have to follow God's plan. But you know what? It required effort on his part. The ark wasn't going to build itself. God gave him a plan, gave him everything he needed, but you know what it came down to? Noah had to put forth some effort. The responsibility of delivering his family, you know who it was placed upon? Noah. Had he just let it go in warning out there? Had he took the instructions lightly? You know what? They'd all perished. I see a man not only that had a plan, I see his persistence. He labored until the job was complete. Look at verse 22. It says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." For 120 years, you know what he did? He just labored. Everything God told him to do, you know what? He did it. You know what we want? We want to see deliverance. We want to see results overnight. You know what? If my family and my children are going to escape the wickedness of this world, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take a lifetime. It's going to take me living for God, following the Word of God, walking with God, walking by faith all my days. Hey, I could live my life for the Lord, and the last 5 years of my life, I could just live, throw it all away and live for the world. And you know what it'd do? It'd mess them boys up. Noah's family saw, man, he labored. He labored doing what God told him to do. I started thinking about it, the criticism he probably had to face. Wonder how many people told Noah he's ruining his family. Wonder how many people said, "No, you got some good boys, but man, you've just ruined them. There's a wife. I mean, you just turned them into a bunch of freaks and fanatics, Noah. I mean, you just ruined their lives." Wonder when that water started rising, if they still thought that. You follow God's plan, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to be criticized. The world's going to make fun. They don't understand. But you know what? It don't matter. It does not matter. You know, I started thinking, here's Noah. Living his life, walking with God. Laboring, doing what God told him to do. And I started thinking, who all did it affect? I mean, there's his community. You know what happened to them? They all died in the flood. You only had aunts and uncles. You know what happened to them? They died in the flood. Brothers, sisters, they died in the flood. But you know who didn't die in the flood? His wife, his three sons, and his three daughter-in-laws. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. You may think that you living for God and trying to follow the Word of God and living your life, that you think it's a waste. That it may not be making an impact in the lives of the people around you. If it impacts your family and your wife and your children, it's worth every bit of it. I mean, they're going to be... Everybody, the entire world is going to die. But not his family. All because I had a dad that said, "You know what, I'm going to follow God." Noah walked with God. And here's, I guess this is all I'm asking tonight. What's going to happen to your family? You say, "Preacher, I don't know." I can tell you this. It'll go as far as you go. You don't follow God, your children ain't going to follow God. You're lukewarm, your wife, your children be lukewarm. Man, here's all I want to ask you tonight. Will you be a Noah? In spite of everything, Noah got his family delivered. They escaped the wickedness of the day. The only hope your family has is you. I said before, you're the head. You can have the best wife. You know, they're going to follow you in the end. I'm thinking of a particular individual I used to go to church with. Faithful as could be, brought her two boys to church. But she's married to a lost man. And even though she went to church, you know where they're all at now? Their lives are a mess. She tried. She put up a fight. But you know what happened?
the head. The head never got involved. Men, here's what I want to challenge you with tonight. The deliverance of your family from the wickedness of this world is going to rest upon you. Be the Noah. Be the Noah that can deliver his family. And you'll have to endure criticism. You're going to have to endure... It's hard. I mean, you just start thinking, laboring for 120 years building an ark. I mean, no doubt those days he wanted to quit. No doubt those days that he thought, you know what, I'm just tired of this. I don't want to go on. But he didn't stop. That persistence. He just faithfully just kept doing what God told him to do. And he didn't stop till he was done. You know what I'm to do? I'm to raise my children in fear and admonition of the Lord. By the grace of God, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do that to my very last breath. I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And you know what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to do that from my very last breath. You know why? Because I want to see them delivered from the wickedness of this world. It grieves me when I just start thinking about the wickedness of this world. If the Lord does not return, can you imagine how bad things are going to be in another 20 years? Can you imagine what my grandchildren will have to go through? And I get so sad and grieved. But then I start thinking, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You know what they need? They need a godly example to follow. I can't make their decisions for them, but you know what I can do? I can blaze the trail and mark it so clearly that they can find it easily. Thank you all tonight. Jordan, you want to come play? I ask you all to stand tonight, please. I ask y'all to bow your heads. And I just want to ask you men tonight, where are you at? Could you say, hey, I'm like Noah, I'm trying to walk with God, I'm trying to do everything I can to deliver my family? Or would you have to say, no, preacher, I'm not? You're going to influence them one way or another. You're either going to lead them toward God or you're going to lead them toward the world. One or the other. Which direction are you going in? And which direction do you want to go? Maybe you just need to come and ask God just to help you. Maybe you know you've been going down the wrong path. Maybe you want God just to strengthen your convictions and help you. If God spoke to your heart tonight, you come and pray.